Lee Chambers
on Cambridge 105 Radio.
So, were you at the Cambridge Junction on Friday? Sam Avery was there doing his stand-up show, The Learner Parent. It's sort of based on his blog, which is incredibly successful. And his blog is about being a parent to twin boys who are about between three and four years old. He's also got a book out based on the blog called The Learner Parent. I grabbed him after the show. We had a quick chat. So, you're here as a stand-up comedian,
yes.
Also a blogger and an author. How would you describe yourself? Is there one of those that feels more comfortable to you?
I would say comedian, because that's the thing I've done for longest. So I've done stand-up for 15 years now, or nearly 16 years, actually. So I've always felt I was a comedian who was writing a book or a comedian who started a blog. And I suppose whenever I sign off any of the blogs, I always put, I'm a stand-up comic, because I think that's how I sort of visualise myself, I suppose.
But being a parent has changed the nature of your comedy?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. It's changed the focus of what I talk about, because I've always talked about whatever's going on in my life. So when I got married, I was talking about that quite a lot, and honeymoons and all that sort of stuff. And obviously this is something that, it's just a gift in terms of a comedian, because it gives you different material every day. And it's also changed the audience, because I didn't have an audience before I had kids. And it does look from the outside like I've cynically tried to monetize my children. But I suppose what the kids coming along did is that it gave me the material to, there's so much material every day to write this blog, and it's the blog that's kind of captured the imaginations of all the people who follow it. So I'm really thankful, I'm lucky enough to be in a position where they'll come and buy a ticket to watch me do stand-up.
What do you think it is about the blog that's really caught people's imagination?
I think it's just funny. I think that's it, and that's always been my goal, to make it funny. But I think if you, this has been an accident, really, because I didn't try to get to the truth via comedy, but I think sometimes you stumble across that. And I think using humour is a great way of talking about stuff that people don't often talk about or people feel uncomfortable about, and you can really tackle some big issues. And unwittingly, I think I've done that. It's not been an intentional thing, but I've had quite a lot of messages from people saying that they've been struggling with postnatal depression, or they're having a low mood or anxiety about stuff, and laughing about some of the things that I've spoke about that they can relate to with their children has made them kind of look at things and approach them in a different way next time, which is kind of mind-blowing, because I was just trying to be make people laugh, really.
Do you think there's something about it because you've written it as a man? Because there are quite a few blogs around written by women.
Yeah, possibly. I think there's quite a lot of there's a lot of women who read it and they say, I don't believe he's a man, I think it must be a woman pretending to be a man. And if I am, I'm doing a really good job, because I don't know. And it's mainly women who read it as well. So I think it's mainly women who come watch the shows as well. I feel like I'm the Daniel O'Donnell of comedy at the moment. I've just got all these like young mothers coming to watch me, which is ace. But it's always nice to see fellas in the room as well. And the fellas who do follow the blog and have commented have always said stuff like it, you know, similar. It's nice to see a man talking about that stuff as well, because I think society's evolving, and I think men need to be, you know, a bit more honest about their feelings and emotions.
And talking about honest there, how honest is it in the blog? Is it true? Is it everything that happened, or is there a bit of poetic license?
When it comes to stuff that I write about that's happened to me, that's all 100% true with sprinkles of exaggeration, like most comedy is. When it comes to, I write a blog every Tuesday called The Secret Diary of a 3-Year-Old, and I basically write the week through one of my son's eyes. A lot of that is kind of just completely fictional, like completely fictional, because it's got to be funny. That's the thing, it's got to be funny. But I'll still talk about stuff that's kind of wound me up or been a challenge, but I'll do it in a little short story where it's completely, you know, cartoonish, but people seem to enjoy it, and I enjoy writing it.
And so when you were asked to turn the blog into a book, how easy was that?
It was quite difficult, because I didn't want to use any of the stuff that had already been written, so it was all completely new, and I only had 7 weeks to write the book. So, and I think it was 60,000 words that I wrote in 7 weeks, and those 7 weeks were just so intense, you know, writing all this stuff. And I had all these ideas that basically I'd not had time to turn into a blog, because once your kids get to about, well, once they start being mobile, it's really difficult to be able to have much time to do anything. But I used to make loads of notes, so I had all these notes about these things that had happened and experiences that I'd been through, but I'd not actually had the time to turn it into a fully fledged chapter of the book, as it became. So it was great fun. At the end, I felt really odd and strange, because I think it sounds like a cliche, but I put so much into it because I wanted to be proud of it. So it was kind of challenging, but really good fun.
Why only 7 weeks?
There was an issue between my literary agent and the publishers, and this big negotiation went on for ages. And I don't know why, because it wasn't like it was a massive deal or anything. There was some issues that I don't even understand that my agent and the publishers had to iron out. And so I thought, I didn't want to start writing the book until that was ironed out. And I thought, well, when it's all ironed out, they'll give me a later submission date. But they didn't. It was like 7 weeks. It was like, okay, you better start now.
And in terms of how much you share about your home life and about what happens with your children, where do you draw the line?
I suppose I draw the line in, is it going to come back and embarrass my kids? Is it going to embarrass my wife? Is it stuff I don't feel comfortable talking about? Because there's stuff I don't particularly want to talk about. I think you can be honest without bearing everything. I think there's certain things. I see some bloggers and they just literally share everything. And you think, I don't know if that's of any use to anyone other than you feel like that's what you've got to do to be successful. And I think if you just sharing everything just to be successful, I think that's a bit misleading, really. If it's funny, it goes in.
And when you decide not to, it's fairly obvious, is it, to you? There's a sort of check in your head that says, yeah, this doesn't feel right.
Yeah, I think so. And I think I would never want to mock my children. So any of their kind of personal quibbles or personality traits that they're developing now that they're going to be 4 in March, some of that I just don't feel comfortable sharing, because I think, well, that's their thing and that's our thing and that's what we're going to nurture them to become, you know, adults and certain things fair game. But maybe there's a specific thing and you go, I'll leave that out because that's... But normally it's like, if it's not funny, it's not going in, and that makes it an easy decision for me, really.
And they're coming up to 4, so do they know? Are they aware that Daddy writes about them, that Daddy talks about them?
No, they haven't got a clue, and when they find out, I'm in trouble. So if you've got a fake passport I can borrow, then I might need it. I've told them that I make people laugh, that's my job. And I said, do you know what Daddy does for a living? He makes people laugh. And one of my lads just said, well, I'm going to grow up and I'm going to make people sneeze. Which I thought was dead funny, because he's just thinking laughter is like a physical, you know, reaction, so sneezing, so I'll do that, which is beautiful, isn't it?
It's lovely.
So I think he's going to work in the pepper industry. But they don't really understand it. They did come to one of my gigs before Christmas, not a tour show. I was doing this little awards thing and I was giving out awards, and they just saw me on stage and just got on stage with me. And it was quite adorable, really, because they just thought, Daddy's doing it, it's normal, I'll get up. Whereas my dad worked for British Telecom, so I thought that was normal, you know. So it's all about, hopefully, I was a really shy teenager, so hopefully if anything comes of it, they'll see me talking in front of people and hopefully feel a bit more confident when it comes, you know, time for them to do any kind of presentations.
And because you write a blog about what's going on in your daily life, how much are you aware of the blog in your daily life, if you like, you know, in the middle of a tantrum in Waitrose, are you thinking, God, this is going to make a great blog post?
All the time. But I've always had that in my head since I started doing stand-up in 2003. No matter what I'm going through or whatever I'm experiencing, there's always like a playing record button in my head thinking, is this funny? This could be funny one day. And even if it's like quite difficult at the time, I'm thinking but this might be great stand-up. And that's where it comes from. It's that kind of stand-up comics brain that I've got or developed means that I'm just constantly firing stuff through my humour filter to see if it's funny enough or memorable enough. Or even if something happens and I think, well, that's not funny as it is, but once I, you know, put the filter on it and add bells and whistles, then it becomes a lot more funny.
And you're in a tour at the moment. How's that, being away from your family, enjoying it?
The odd night's nice. Like, one night is amazing. Like, let's make no bones about it. One night in a hotel without your kids and even without your wife, let's be honest, she's never going to listen to this, is lovely. But more than one night is horrible. So I'm away for 2 nights. I'm in, obviously, Cambridge tonight, and then I'm in Birmingham tomorrow, and that's a long weekend. And then I'll go back on Sunday morning. So I'm away for sort of 2 nights at a time, no more than that. And I did say to the promoter, don't put me away for longer than that, because I just don't want to miss stuff. My kids are, you know, everything to me, and I don't want to miss as much. It's nice to get 9 hours sleep.
And what's next for you then? I mean, I know you're doing this tour. What after this?
So hopefully another book later this year. Maybe I'll get round to that. And then I've already started writing the next tour show, which will take place in 2020, which has not been announced yet. But that'll go around the UK in 2020, because this one's just been extended through to the end of July, so it's going to be about 55 dates by the end of it. So just really excited to be developing as a stand-up again after sort of delving into writing the blog and the book.
Ah, lovely guy. If you want to find out more, read the blog, get hold of the book, then his website, Sam Avery's website, is thelearnerparent.com.